Generation. I am going to preface this first off by saying that I hate the word podcast, and even though this is called the Geek Generation Podcast, I will now officially refer to it as the Geek Generation. That is the website, which is www.thegeekgeneration.com. It is also the name of the podcast, but I will leave that in the album art and on iTunes to differentiate between the two. However, I don't know what it is about that word that just makes it sound utterly lame. I am joined today by Scott Toomey, who I affectionately refer to as CK, since he is the Superman to my Batman. So, how are you doing, Scott?
Quite well, sir. How are you?
I am fantastic. We have a full plate for the show today.
I'm pumped.
Yes, as am I. We have separated our show out into a little more of an organized format. This is a growing process for us, too. We're learning as we go along. Hopefully, we'll be able to produce a better show. I think we had about 30 downloads of the last episode, which is a good starting point. We're up to like 70 something of the lost episode because I've been pimping that out on Twitter, which is the best marketing tool ever.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, first thing I want to do is throw a poll question out to the audience. We're going to totally rip off another podcast, Dangerous Memories. They like to throw out a poll question every week to the audience and get some good feedback and response, and I'd love to have some more audience participation in the show. Last week, we talked about upcoming summer movies and went through a bunch of the ones that we were looking forward to. I would like to hear from the audience what summer movie you are most looking forward to and maybe a few reasons why you're looking forward to it. When you do send in an email, which you can send to podcast@thegeekgeneration.com, please include your name and location of wherever you're listening. That way, I can give you full credit. So on that note, Scott, is there a movie that you're particularly looking forward to this summer?
Oh, man. I think there's a few, actually. I really, really want to see Piranha 3D because it looks ridiculously ridiculous.
That is your kind of movie.
Oh, absolutely. And it's a remake, which I usually am not very keen about. But if done in the proper way, I think it actually has the opportunity to be fairly decent and make a little bit of money, probably. Other than that one, I think the only other one that I can think of off the top of my head is probably The Expendables, which is also one of those movies that is just going to be ridiculously ridiculous. It has one of the most insane lineups of action stars in the cast, I think, ever put together.
Oh, yeah, we talked about that a little bit last week, and it's beyond exciting. I don't even care how good it's going to be. Just to see that is an experience altogether.
Definitely.
Yeah, so that's awesome. Moving on, we're going to go to our regular intro segment, which is Geek Outs and Freak Outs, where we talk a little bit about what we are really geeking out on or what's just really turning us off lately. Is there something in particular you're geeking out over, Scott?
I'm really geeking out over the latest update for the iPhone software, actually.
That would be OS 4?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it's they added a lot of cool features to it that a lot of people had complained about, one of which was multitasking. I think that was probably the largest complaint for the phone, was that you couldn't have one app open and then switch to another app while keeping the other app open.
Right, right.
So you constantly had to close apps and open apps, and it was kind of a pain in the ass, especially if you're doing things that required to be open as far as downloading content and whatnot. So I like that. And there's a lot of other things that they added to it, too, where you can combine apps of the same type into a single folder so that you don't have to have, like, I think maybe I had like 4 or 5 pages of applications on the phone, and now I only have 2 because I've shrunk. I have like 4 game apps, and I shrunk them into a single folder. So it's actually functions almost like a normal computer desktop in the way that you can create a folder and just put, you know, a lot of different things into it.
Well, that's definitely way more convenient. Now,
absolutely.
Did you have any issues with the updating process? Because a lot of people I talked to, it wasn't the smoothest transition.
I didn't have any problems at all. Actually, it took maybe about an hour to complete. But I didn't experience any problems at all. No,
not bad.
Yeah.
All right. Well, yeah, you always got to love a good software update. So.
Yes, very true. The other thing I like too, actually, about it is I'm reading here because some I forget things sometimes. You can do custom backgrounds now, which is cool. Before, you had for those that are familiar with the iPhone, you have the lock screen, and then you slide the little bar, and then it opens up your main desktop, so to speak, with all of your applications on it. And the default for the desktop was just a black screen, but now you can put anything you want on there, which is really cool. And the other thing that they added was they gave the internal camera a 5x digital zoom. But before, it had no zoom whatsoever. You had to purchase separate applications that added like a digital zoom to it. But now it has it on there. And a digital zoom obviously isn't as good as an optical zoom.
Right, right.
I don't want to get too nerdy here, but I did spend quite a bit of time selling digital cameras.
Wait a minute, you don't want to get too nerdy on a show called The Geek Generation?
I know. Well, I can if you want.
Feel free. I mean, hey, that's what we're here for.
A digital zoom is nice for maybe, it just gets really grainy if you zoom it all the way in, but it's better than nothing.
Have you tested out the one that Apple added? That particular digital zoom?
Yeah, it's good, but I mean, with any digital zoom, you're going to get a fair amount of pixelation and grain with it when you use it too much.
Right.
So my advice would be to not to zoom all the way in, maybe just go about halfway, and that way you could save a little bit of the quality of the picture that you're going to take.
Makes sense. Hopefully some of the people out there are actually listening to us on their iPhones right now, and if they haven't done that update, we'll hopefully do that after the show. Is there anything else that you're geeking out over?
Yes, actually. There's a lot of great production photos and some great news coming out of the, production camp of a TV show that's going to hit the air in October on AMC called The Walking Dead, which is based on Bob Kirkman's comic book of the same name. It's actually the only... let me see if I can start over again, because... About two or three years ago, I had my wisdom teeth out, and I decided it would be a good time to get back into comic books. And I started reading a whole bunch of different titles, but this, The Walking Dead, was the only one that I kept on. I don't buy it in its normal state. I wait for the trades to come out, and I think right now they're up to volume 11, and it's probably one of the best comics I've ever written. It's definitely one of the best zombie stories that I've ever written. For those of you that don't know it, it's basically follows a gentleman who used to be a police officer, and then the zombie apocalypse hit, and he spent a little bit of time searching for his wife and his kid, and he eventually joins up with this group of people, and it's basically just all about survival and trying to survive not just zombies and attacking zombies, but other people that have decided to kind of go crazy. I guess.
Good.
I mean, yeah, I'm not very post-apocalyptic.
I'm not the biggest fan of the zombie stories and the mm-hmm. horror. I know that's kind of your thing, so I can see why you'd be very pumped up for it. Are you, from what you've seen, are you fearful of the translation of how that's going to go from book to screen?
I don't think so, because I know that Breaking Bad is one of AMC's bigger shows, and I know that they don't get away with a lot, but I mean they get away with being able to keep that show pretty hard nosed and pretty edgy, and I think that they achieve the same thing with Mad Men as well. And the series itself, I think, is in really good hands. I think he just wrote the pilot. I'm sure he'll write more episodes as the series goes on, but he's also directing too. Frank Darabont, who's mostly known for I'm pretty sure he wrote the screenplays for both The Green Mile and Shawshank Redemption, and he also directed both. So he's a pretty high-quality director. So I'm not really too afraid that any of the source material is going to get lost in translation. I think it's in really, really good hands. So excellent. I'm very, excellent. Very excited. October cannot come fast enough. It was already my favorite time of year before. now it's just will be even more so.
I've heard nothing but good things about both Breaking Bad and Mad Men. So it seems AMC is definitely building a reputation. And I guess you can be hopeful to expect the same from Walking Dead.
Yeah, I'm real excited about it. And the special effects makeup, which is always a big part of any production of a zombie TV show or movie, also looks very, very good. Unfortunately, I don't know who's handling that, but so far everything looks pretty awesome. So
excellent. All right, well, I'm going to go right into something I'm geeking out about lately, and it seems somewhat odd that I would mention podcasts while recording a podcast, but I am geeking out over podcasts right now. I'm a huge Howard Stern fan, as anyone who knows me knows. And when he goes on vacation, it is the longest period of my life because that show is always playing in the background of my apartment. Yeah. And right now he's on his 2-week summer break and I'm trying to find something to fill the time. It's not the easiest thing to do. So lately I've been just consuming all these different podcasts, not only to fill that empty space, but also to expand my knowledge of what it's like. And I'm really surprised by the production quality of a lot of the other shows. I thought that when our show came out, we would be so far below all these others production-wise that had full studios and large setups and all that stuff. And we're on par, if not better, than a lot of the other ones out there into only our second episode, which is surprising. I listened to an episode of the Adam Carolla podcast, which is supposedly one of the top ones in the world. And it felt like he was doing his show in a cave. The echo was unbelievable. Like, I don't know. Their content is fantastic. I wish their production value was just a little bit better.
Yeah.
Granted, I spend a good 3 to 4 hours of post-production after every 1 hour that we record. So maybe they're just doing it live and putting it out as is. But to recommend some of the stuff I have been listening to, like I said, the Adam Carolla podcast. I've been listening to Fitzdog Radio, which is put out by Greg Fitzsimmons. He has a regular show on Howard's channel on Sirius. He has a tremendous podcast as well. The Nerdist, which is Chris Hardwick's podcast, is great. Dangerous Memories, which we plugged in the last show.
Sure.
Go to HectorandTodd.com for that one. And a buddy of mine from high school actually has a show that they've been doing for a little while now. I think they have come up on probably around at least 15 episodes, if not more than that. And that would be the Black and Perv show, which is an intriguing name in itself. So go check that out. It's pretty much a comedy show. It's good time right there.
Cool.
As far as freakouts, what do you have for freaking out this week?
Oh, freak out!
It's kind of old news. It's old hat by now. A while ago, MTV had mentioned that they were interested in perhaps turning one of my beloved 80s films into a crummy television show, that being Teen Wolf.
No, you're kidding.
I'm not excited about it at all. I mean, when they made the sequel with Jason Bateman, they ruined the original movie enough with that. There's no need for a TV show, but as far as I know, they ordered it, and I don't know when it's going to air, but I would assume probably sometime during the fall, but I'm not pumped. I'm actually pretty dang upset about it.
Yeah, it's bad enough that Twilight's ruined the whole vampire genre right now. The last thing we need is a Teen Wolf series where it's just a bunch of guys running around with their shirts off and transforming with horrible computer effects.
Speaking of Twilight, I know it's one of your least favorite things to discuss, but I think it's only fair that we give credit where credit is due, because the most recent film did record the highest grossing midnight opening of all time. And at this point in time, it's the hottest franchise in Hollywood. So I think you got to give credit where credit is due. the never underestimate the power of teenage females.
Yeah, I can't believe I read that as well, and it broke my heart, frankly. I hate it when something I feel is undeserving is taking the top slot. And I don't know what it is. It seems like things that are geared towards the female demographic seem to make that leap a lot easier than the typical mainstream things. Like, the highest grossing movie for years and years and years was Titanic. Mm-hmm. That clearly was skewed towards a female demographic. I was so happy when Avatar finally took its place, but in the meantime, oh, it just broke my heart. I don't like seeing that.
Yeah, it's, but it happens across all genres. I mean, you see it happen in the music business. You see it happen in a lot of other forms of media in general. It's just teenage girls, man, I'll tell you.
Yeah, they apparently have the money to go and spend on all this stuff. I think there are people I know. Yeah, or their parents, right. I know. Go get a job, focus on school, do something, stop reading and going to see Twilight. Although I guess I can't complain too much if they're actually reading books. As a teacher, I should probably encourage that a little bit.
That's very true. Even as long as they read the books first and then go see the films, then maybe we won't have as big of a problem with it.
Yeah, and this is from me, who loves the Harry Potter movies and has yet to pick up one of those books, so I'm going to stop talking about that right now.
I haven't read any of them either, but I love the movies.
Right now, we're going to take a short break as we decide to split our show up in a little bit of a more organized fashion, so we will be back in just a moment. We're back with the Geek Generation, and we are just about to kick off our news. Going into the news first, we have what I would say is the biggest news story of the week, coming out just a day or two ago, and that would be Wonder Woman's revamp and new look.
Yes.
Oh, yes. This week celebrated Wonder Woman's 69th birthday. She is sporting a new costume designed by comic book legend and icon Jim Lee. She's also getting a new backstory, and in the new direction, unknown forces have changed history and destroyed Wonder Woman's mystical island home in the past. Now Diana was raised in the outside world by a few of the surviving Amazons, giving her greater ties to both worlds. She is also less powerful than before, but may regain her previous abilities as the series progresses. These are some big changes to an iconic comic book character. Mm. What do you think about it, Scott?
I kind of like the look of the costume. You got to think of it in terms of this. Obviously, I think that this is probably just the beginning of a lot of revamps, probably for DC, especially when it comes to their main characters, because they need to make, especially the Wonder Woman character, a little bit more translatable in terms of putting her in a feature film. And I think that by updating her look, updating her backstory, making the backstory maybe seem a bit more realistic than it was before, is going to be a lot easier to translate into a motion picture than it would have before. So I think that this first change is one of many to come. And I think it's a good idea if DC wants to become more like Marvel in terms of their films and being able to make money in different areas of media.
Oh, yeah, I totally agree. I mean, one of the biggest criticisms of the characters in the DC universe has always been that they are so extreme and so powerful, and they really don't fit into the world the same way that Marvel's scientifically based characters tend to. So. Right. It really wasn't realistic to have Wonder Woman running around on the big screen in the traditional uniform that she has always had. It sticks out like a sore thumb. This one is a lot more grounded in reality. Jim Lee is an amazing artist and definitely went in the best direction possible with this costume that he has now. So I think it's totally okay. I forever have wanted to see a change in Wonder Woman. She seemed very stale while the other characters were moving forward. But it is certainly a controversial move to change something that people are so familiar with. The poll on the website is split right down the middle right now, 50 and 50 of people who like it and don't like it. So it's a big deal. I think it's a wise move. Others may not agree, but we'll see where it goes, I guess.
I think only good things can come from it. I mean, change isn't always necessarily a bad thing. This coming from a gentleman who typically hates change. So,
yeah, and the other thing, too, is that this is not the first time that DC or Marvel Comics, for that matter, or any other brand, has made a major change to a character and even updated their entire backstory. They do have a plan set. I mean, DC had Crisis on Infinite Earths. Right. They had Infinite Crisis recently, where characters were brought back from the dead. We've seen origin stories rewritten so many times, and there was the fear that that might happen with the whole Superman lawsuit, whether people are familiar with that or not. Mm. Did that come to a conclusion? I'm sure you'd be following that more closely than I.
It's a giant headache, tell you the truth. I'm not 100% sure that it came to the conclusion, to a formal conclusion. The last thing that I heard was that I think in 2012, at some point, DC, the rights are going to revert back to the heirs of the original creators, Joe Shuster and Joel Siegel. And that includes the origin story and a lot of the familiar pieces of the character.
Right. So when that event takes place, DC will be forced to either rewrite an origin story for Superman, or they have to choose not to show that traditional origin story on the screen anymore. So that's a big deal, and I'm hoping they get that cleared up. I think Superman's origin story is so profound and so recognizable to the mainstream that you really can't take the risk of rewriting something that big.
Yeah. I mean, the most extreme side of the story, as far as that goes, would be it wouldn't be out of the question for Superman to actually become a Marvel character. I mean, the family can essentially do whatever they want to do with the character. If they want to sell it to Marvel, they can sell it to Marvel. So it's not out of the realm of possibility for Superman to possibly be under the Marvel banner at some point in the next 5 years or so.
Which all sounds incredibly scary, and I hope we don't have to get that point. I'd love to see him stay where he is as he is.
Absolutely.
And transitioning that into our next story perfectly, we are talking Smallville. It was just announced by the CW that season 10 premieres on Friday night, September 24th. The other news.
Never been more excited in my life.
I have no doubt. No doubt. I'm very excited as well. It's a hard thing to wait for. True. The other major piece of news attached to that is the fact that John Schneider will reprise his role as Clark's adoptive father, Jonathan Kent, both for the premiere and for at least one other episode during what is being told to us is the final season. What do you think?
I like it. At the end of the last season, Tom Welling, who was very involved in the production of the show now, said that he would like to see a lot of different characters from the past come back, Jonathan Kent being one of them. And for anybody who knows even the tiniest bit about the Superman mythology knows that that at some point during his life, Jonathan Kent passes away. I guess it depends on what timeline you follow. There were some timelines in the comic where Jonathan Kent was actually still alive. I think one of the current ones has that. I'm not 100% sure, but it excites me. I mean, John Schneider coming back, I think, is just one step of many to come. Hopefully, the biggest step of all will take place, and that would be a return of Michael Rosenbaum for at least one or two episodes to reprise his role of Lex Luthor. So I'm excited. I can't wait.
I think it's a necessity, absolutely. And while it does follow the storyline that we've seen played out in the comics, and I knew that the death of Jonathan Kent would be something that eventually would be coming down the pipeline, I was really sad to see it happen because John Schneider's performance was most likely my favorite of the entire cast.
He was definitely one of the tentpoles for the first couple of seasons. I think him and, I forget his actual name, but the gentleman who played Lionel Luthor, I think those two guys, when they left the show, it hurt for a little while. But then I think in the last couple of seasons, the show finally came into its own and was able to rely more on its younger stars. But now, Tom Welling and Erica Durance, they're the tentpoles of the series now. And I think they're doing a fantastic job.
They really are. Not to mention, you'll remind me of his name, the gentleman who plays the Green Arrow.
Oh, Justin Hartley.
Justin Hartley is absolutely amazing in the show.
It's fantastic.
So he's doing a great job. I really would have never thought that the Green Arrow would be such a huge piece of the Smallville puzzle. But he has come in and done such a tremendous job, and we're lucky to have that in there.
And we have a pilot for a show that never came to be.
Aquaman.
That being Aquaman.
Have you seen that?
Was known as Mercy Reef.
Yeah. Did you end up watching that pilot?
I never watched it. No, I heard it wasn't too bad, but
it wasn't horrible, but it clearly was lacking. I mean, it was a pilot. It was lacking a lot of production value, and it was very much a knockoff of Smallville or Birds of Prey, even. Although Birds of Prey I enjoyed, it provided it only lasted for one season. I liked it.
Well, I never got a chance to see that one, but I've heard stories.
Moving on, the announcement of Hulu Plus. For people who use Hulu, they stream various network shows on the internet. You can get very good quality. It's usually very limited commercial interruption. I mean, on TV, you get up to 3 minutes of commercials in between sometimes. Hulu, if you get a 30-second commercial break two or three times in an episode, not a big deal in comparison. Hulu Plus is a new service that they've announced, which will be $9.99 a month. It'll stream Hulu in HD to your iPhone, iPad, PS3 support coming in July, Xbox 360 support coming in early 2011, as well as other network-compatible TVs and whatnot. The one thing that I heard after the original announcement of this was that PlayStation announced their own subscription service called PlayStation Plus, which is the equivalent of the Xbox Gold subscription. They are still offering their free PlayStation service so that those who want to play multiplayer games can do so for free. Yeah. But if you want to pay additional to get additional services, you can subscribe to PlayStation Plus. The thing I heard today is that in order to utilize Hulu Plus on your PS3, you will need a PlayStation Plus subscription, which seems like a lot of extra costs just to get it to your television.
Yeah. I'm not a PlayStation supporter.
I
miss out on a lot of things from what I understand, but I don't, no particular reason that I can think of off the top of my head, other than the fact that I own an Xbox 360, and that's about it. But I worked in the retail electronic world for a really, really long time, and I became very familiar with a lot of Sony's practices when it comes to certain things. I'll leave it at that. That is pretty much one of the reasons why I don't go for the PlayStation. So,
but you can't argue with free multiplayer.
You can't argue with that. I do not enjoy paying $50 a year to get my fix of Modern Warfare 2. But in the grand scheme of things, it has given me hours and hours of great entertainment.
Well, as an addition to this news story and that horrible announcement that you will need PlayStation Plus in order to utilize Hulu Plus, I want to suggest an alternative to the audience. I paid for a program called Play On Media Server, which actually is something I load on my PC. I don't know if there's a Mac version. There might be. Mm. You load it onto your PC. You can detect your PS3 or Xbox 360 or Wii or other various devices connected over your network, and it will encode the video from Hulu, Netflix, Comedy Central Online, a variety of different online video services, and stream them right to your TV through whatever console you have. Ooh. So I got that on sale for $20. I believe the asking price is generally $40, but it is a fantastic piece of software for those who want to consider it.
That sounds cool. I don't know. I'm sure something for the Mac exists. The program that I use right now is called Playback. And as far as I know, I haven't really used it a lot except for what I use it for. And it lets me stream my any videos that I have downloaded on my computer. It lets me stream them right to my Xbox. And I can do it with music and photos and all that kind of stuff as well. I'm not 100% sure if it has any compatibility with any of those websites, but I could certainly look into it and find out. But I think that's becoming more of a common thing for people to be doing as far as their home theater setups are concerned. I think it's any physical media is going the wayside, which is actually one of the reasons why I don't really want to get into Blu-ray, because there's no question in my mind that Blu-ray is going to be the last form of physical media for movies. there, you can't, I don't think there's any way you can get any better in terms of picture quality and sound quality than Blu-ray. But I just don't think it's going to last that long, because I think that media streaming is quickly taking over.
Yeah, so. That all, I guess, depends on what kind of consumer you are. Yeah. I personally, like, I'm a collector.
Yeah, me too.
To me, digital format is not necessarily an option. I like that it's included in a lot of DVDs and Blu-rays now to have that option to watch something digitally and distribute it that way. But I like having the package. I like having it on my shelf. And that's why I've definitely adopted Blu-ray, is because I want the best possible quality and still maintain a physical package.
Yeah. I mean, I guess maybe part of my reluctance is because, you know, I got burned and I don't know what happened. I owned a lot of VHS cassettes.
Yeah.
Most of which I didn't purchase until I got to college, which was right around when DVD came through. But the transformation from VHS to DVD was much more, I think had a larger impact than a simple quality enhancement. Do you follow what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
I think that as far as the physical form of a VHS cassette versus a DVD disc, I mean, the benefits there were out of this world. I mean, I own close to 1,100 DVDs. And if those were VHS cassettes, where the hell would I put them all?
Yeah. And you know, given your extensive collection, I can absolutely understand your reluctance to upgrade, because that is a huge investment.
Yeah, I mean, when the time comes, if and when the time comes for me to finally make the switch, which I'm sure a lot of you are probably, your jaws are probably hitting the floor at the moment right now, because I haven't made the switch. You know, I did home theater installations for a year, and you know, I know a lot about the technology and stuff like that. So a lot of people, I think, talking to me would think, "Whoa, I figured he would have jumped on the Blu-ray bandwagon a long time ago," but. I'm just not ready to do it yet. I don't see the benefit just yet.
Well, maybe in the near future, I guess we'll see.
Perhaps.
Next news item. We got to see the debut trailer for Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows. That was released this week. Big deal. We were proud to be one of the first sites to really get it up there, even though our traffic doesn't reflect it that well. Somehow we still get buried below all the big names. But we did get it up there quickly. Very interesting trailer. And the one word that I can use to describe it is epic.
Mm.
It looks like they have definitely taken off the kiddie gloves. This is a two-parter. We're getting the first half in November. We're getting the second half in July. And it just looks like a tremendously epic undertaking.
It's one of the most successful franchises to ever come about. In terms of films, obviously the books are very successful. The movies have just been out of this world money-making machines for Warner Brothers, right? It is Warner Brothers, I believe.
Is. Yes.
And the last time I can remember, you know, getting chills from a movie theme used in a trailer was probably when the Superman Returns teaser trailer came out.
Oh, yes.
But you know that you've got something special when you hear the music, you get excited.
Not to mention the way that trailer ended, where we had the traditional music, but they decided to add so much more to it, and it felt so powerful.
Yeah, I'm excited. I mean, I see it. My mom loves the movies, and we see them all on opening night, so I'll be looking forward to it for sure.
Yeah, they're fantastic movies. Maybe after they're all over, I'll actually pick up one of the books and start reading. Who knows?
Why not?
Superman, Batman, Apocalypse is a DC animated movie that is coming out, I believe, July 20... No, I'm sorry. I'm thinking of Batman Under the Red Hood is coming out July 27th. Superman Batman Apocalypse, I believe, is going to see an October release. The interesting news that's come out of that so far is that Tim Daly and Kevin Conroy are returning as their respective roles as Superman and Batman.
Excellent.
They voiced both characters in the animated series, and to fans of those, we can really imagine no one else in those voice roles because it's so iconic for them. Also this week, we had the announcement that Summer Glau of Terminator, the Sarah Connor Chronicles, will be voicing Supergirl in the movie.
Oh, nice. I like it. I mean, the return of those two guys doing the voice acting is very good news. I didn't really enjoy the voice acting in Superman Doomsday. It just, I don't know, it didn't grab me. It's probably just because I was too used to Tim Daly from the animated series.
I agree with you. And having Clancy Brown absent from the role of Lex Luthor, I mean, he's perfect for it.
Yeah. Well, I think he's. I've heard people say that he's their favorite portrayal of the character next to Michael Rosenbaum, which is big props for a voice actor.
I 100% agree. I actually might prefer Clancy Brown's portrayal over Michael Rosenbaum's.
Mm, yeah, see, so he must be doing something right.
Oh, yeah. These guys are, like, iconic in their voices for these characters in the sense that if I go and read a comic book with Batman, Superman, or Lex Luthor, that's the voice I hear in my head as I'm reading now. So to have Tim Daly and Kevin Conroy return is absolutely phenomenal. So happy about that. In other comic book movie news, we have the rumor that Alice Eve of the movie She's Out of My League in negotiations for the role of Emma Frost in X-Men First Class. It was previously rumored that Rosamund Pike of An Education and Surrogates would be in that particular role as she was seen around the casting offices, but it seems that Alice Eve might be stealing that role away.
She's the new It Girl, man. Ever since She's Out of My League, whoo-wee.
That was a good movie. Great movie.
I like the movie. It's got my doppelganger in it.
That's true.
For those who don't know, Jay Baruchel supposedly looks quite like myself.
I can see some similarities.
But I like Alice Eve. I like her a lot. She's an Australian blonde bombshell. And I think she'd be pretty good for the part of Emma Frost. So.
And she's already got a similar accent. I mean, Frost rocks the British accent. So
there you go.
That'll work.
I think it'll work really well.
Yeah, I like that idea. I think it's a good... I mean, they could go either way. They could go with Rosamund Pike. They could go with Alice Eve. I would be happy with either casting. Big news in the Blu-ray DVD front. Back to the Future 25th Anniversary Trilogy coming out October 26th. So happy that I had actually held off on... I am the Blu-ray adopter, so
yeah.
I have held off on buying the Back to the Future trilogy, regardless of its, I think, $10 to $15 selling price in the stores right now, because I wanted this collection on Blu-ray, and it's finally coming.
Well, worth the wait, I think. You know, when and if I make the transition, it'll probably be one of the first collections that I purchase. The Back to the Future trilogy is freaking fantastic. You can't say anything bad about it, with the exception of maybe the last movie doesn't really blow up everybody's skirt, so to speak. But I enjoyed it myself. But as long as they don't have any technical difficulties with the first print of the discs, as they did with the first DVD release, then I think you'll be all set.
I'm not familiar with the Care to Enlighten.
I want to think that there was... I don't remember the exact details, but I want to think there was a problem with the... with either the video or the audio transfer that they did for Back to the Future 2. And a lot of people had to, I think, send their discs in for replacement discs or entire replacements of the entire trilogy altogether.
Oof.
I'm not 100% sure. A similar thing actually happened when they released the Ultimate Superman Collection in the tin box.
Yes, yes.
They mistakenly put in a bare bones version of Superman 3 without any extra features, and it was supposed to have extra features on it. So basically what Warner Brothers did was they had a website. You went to the website, you punched in your information, they sent you a prepaid envelope, you slipped the disc into it, send it back to them, and they sent you the right one, and that was that. It took maybe about 6 to 8 weeks, which is pretty typical for that kind of stuff. But it's always annoying when you run into problems like that.
Huge bummer when you're like running out to the store the day it comes out and like, oh yeah, I finally got it. I'm going to go watch it all right now. And then, blah.
Yeah, the only other I mean, obviously I don't follow Blu-ray that often, but the only other Blu-ray disc problem that I heard of through hearsay was with Saving Private Ryan. I heard there was a big problem with the audio mix on the Blu-ray for that.
Yeah, I think it was our friends at Dangerous Memories that made me aware of that. That there was like
a syncing issue.
It was slightly a few seconds off of when it should have happened, something along those lines. But yeah, that would be insanely infuriating.
Totally.
Let's see. This next news is purely for my own indulgence because I have a massive crush on Lauren Graham and she is my future wife. So there was the news that Lauren Graham will be appearing in Scream 4. She had an appearance on The Tonight Show where she confirmed that information. I am scared that I actually have to go see Scream 4 now because, like I've said before, I am not a huge fan of horror movies. Granted, I did enjoy the first Scream and I believe the second Scream. After that, I don't remember if I even saw the third.
The third one was junk.
Yeah, okay, well, good. So I probably didn't see that one.
Yeah, it was junk. I don't want to, to bust on Kevin Smith because I love Kevin Smith and I love the characters he created, but you can't have Jay and Silent Bob have a cameo in a horror movie.
Wait, they were in Scream 3?
Yeah, well, was it Scream 3 or Scream 2? Did you see him in 2? Because I thought it was in 3.
I don't even remember, honestly. It might be 3 because I don't remember seeing them in one of those. So.
Bear with my typing for a minute and I'll find out.
All right.
I was pretty sure that it was the 3rd one.
You're probably right. I'm sure if we're entirely incorrect, someone will write us in and tell us we're stupid because geeks do that.
It was, actually. It was Scream 3, yeah.
Okay.
So in my opinion, the only redeeming factor about Scream 3 was Patrick Dempsey. I'm a big Patrick Dempsey fan. I mean, I've got a lot of love for Patrick Dempsey coming from, I have a lot of likes for his 80s classics. Can't Buy Me Love is one of my favorite films of all time, as is Loverboy. So I think Scream 3 was actually his big comeback role before Sweet Home Alabama, and then before he landed his role on, what is that piece of junk?
Grey's Anatomy.
Yes. So that, as far as I was concerned, that was the only redeeming quality of Scream 3.
He was actually great in Enchanted, too.
Yes, I do remember that.
That was a surprisingly good movie.
Yeah, I loved it. I thought it was fantastic.
So, I mean, I guess if you can watch Scream 3 for Patrick Dempsey, I should probably try and tough it up and watch Scream 4 for Lauren Graham. So,
well, and not only that, too, but Kevin Williamson, who's known for his work on Dawson's Creek. And I'm not afraid to admit that Dawson's Creek is one of my favorite shows of all time. But he wrote the original films. I'm pretty sure he did 1 and 2, at least. But I don't think he had any involvement in 3 past just the character creation. Let me just check real quick. Yeah, that's pretty much it. So he's back writing Scream 4, which is a big plus. And he also did the screenplays for I Know What You Did Last Summer and The Faculty, which were also, I found to be quite entertaining films. So that, I think, is another plus that maybe should get you into the theater to see the 4th one, is having the returning original writer.
Perhaps. So. I got a little hung up on your mention of Dawson's Creek because there's something I have to ask you. Now, you're a fan of that show?
Absolutely.
Okay. Now, I have seen, I think, maybe 1 or 2 episodes. I was writing a paper in college about teen sitcoms or dramas or whatever they were and how I thought they were ruining our society. But anyway, I watched 1 or 2 episodes, but throughout my entire time in college, I had people constantly saying how much I reminded them of Dawson. And to this day, I do not know if I was being complimented or insulted. So could you please maybe shed some light on that for me?
Well,
I think you're trying to spare my feelings right now.
I don't know. I mean, you're a pretty articulate guy. Dawson was a very articulate guy. Have you more or less had the same hairstyle throughout my college
career? I did sport the same do, and I know that's very similar to Dawson, but I think it had to do with...
You know, he's pretty soft-spoken, too. I think you're a pretty soft-spoken dude, too. So that's probably where the comparisons come from, I would think.
All right, well, I'm hoping it was purely complimentary, but I appreciate your satisfying my narcissistic tendency right there.
I'm sure it was purely complimentary.
I'm just going to keep it that way in my mind because it makes me feel better.
Yeah, why not?
Last piece of news I have is the Green Hornet trailer we got to see as well, and I could not care less. Honestly, I just don't care. I'm not a Seth Rogen fan. Yep. I never really have been. I was never a Green Hornet fan. This movie just does not look interesting to me.
It's, from what I understand, it's had a lot of production problems. I think the release date got pushed back a few times. And I think that's really hurt it. I think people were more excited about it the first time around they heard about it. And I don't know, I just feel like the trailer is a little bit too little too late. I enjoyed the trailer. I am not completely and totally sick of Seth Rogen just yet. I really enjoy his line delivery or his type of comedy. So I'm not really fully completely sick of him just yet. I don't think I'll go see it in the theater. Probably be more of a rental. If I do go see it in the theater, it'll be one of those instances where I'm just going to go see it just because I know it's probably not going to be that great. And it'll be fun to see with a couple of buddies and just kind of laugh at it. Similar to when I saw MacGruber. I think it's just going to be that type of movie. So we'll see what happens. I mean, I really don't think a lot of people are going to see it. I think it's going to be one of those things where you take a fairly familiar character try to, you know, update it and make it relevant, similar to Jonah Hex. But I don't think I don't think it's going to perform that well, similar to Jonah Hex. Jonah Hex basically fell off the radar after its first day in theaters.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So, and that apparently had its own slew of production problems. And yeah, a lot of reviews I've read have said that it's basically feels like it's two separate movies smashed together by the forehead.
Yeah, which is too bad for Josh Brolin, because he was really on a roll as far as picking good movies to be a part of. And then,
sure,
unfortunately, he picked the wrong one. Hopefully he can bounce back from that.
We can only hope.
Yes.
All right, well, that will wrap up our news block. So we're going to take another quick break, and we will rejoin you in just a moment with our discussion of some TV show recommendations that you might want to be watching this summer. All right, we're back, and we are going into a portion of the show where we're kind of in the off-season of the regular television schedule. So we have some shows that you could pick up on DVD or some shows that are airing right now to get you through the summer TV lull. So I know you have a few of them, Scott. Go ahead.
I do have a couple, and they're shows that I just kind of picked up on and started watching on my own and actually grew to really, really love them. Two of them actually happened to be USA productions. USA, the cable channel, I think has been on a roll as far as producing its own TV shows and doing so successfully. The first of which was Monk, which unfortunately ended, I think, just this past year. The one that came after that has been done, that has been doing well, unfortunately, I don't watch. It's actually one of the shows that me and my beautiful fiance like to consider as one of the shows that we don't watch that we should watch. And the one that had actually just started the beginning of its fourth season is Burn Notice. And I'm sure a fair amount of you have heard of it because, from what I understand, it's the highest rated series on cable.
And if I recall, there was actually an SNL sketch
there
where they had the game show, What is Burn Notice?
Yes, making fun of, maybe not necessarily the show, but the fact that it's one of the highest rated shows on TV, yet supposedly people haven't heard of it. But it's got a great cast. Jeffrey Donovan, who's known. The only other thing I remember him from is The Changeling, which was that movie with Angelina Jolie. I mean, he's been in a lot of other stuff too, most of which I don't think I've ever seen, but he is a Massachusetts native, which is nice. He was in the show Crossing Jordan, and Touching Evil was a show that he was in that somebody had mentioned the other day, and I've never...
You're starting to reach now.
Yeah, I know. Book of Shadows, Blair Witch 2, hello. But, you know, he hasn't really been in a whole lot of other things, but he's fantastic in Burn Notice. Basically, if you don't know what the premise is, Jeffrey Donovan plays a guy named Michael Weston who used to work for the CIA. And then one day he gets a phone call telling him that he's been burned. Basically what that means is that the CIA basically disavows all knowledge of your existence. They wipe out your complete identity and more or less basically you just don't exist. You have no credit cards, no anything. And he ends up in Miami. His ex-girlfriend, who from what I understand used to work for the Irish type, she was an Irish operative. She's there helping him along, and then he's got his buddy Sam, who was played wonderfully by Bruce Campbell, who is a favorite of geeks everywhere.
That's the whole reason to watch the show. You just sold me.
Sam is an ex-Navy SEAL and an old friend of Michael's, and essentially they're in Miami. Michael's trying to figure out what he can do to get off the blacklist, the CIA blacklist. And while he's doing that, he's kind of doing, I guess, for lack of a better word, humanitarian side work, where he helps out people that have fairly large problems, but they can't necessarily go to the cops. And Michael utilizes his spy skills in order to help these people out. And that's basically how he makes his money. And at the same time, he's trying to figure out what he can do to get back on the good graces of the CIA.
From so the it's description, a really cool it show. Sounds a lot like a one-man A-team.
Kind of, sort of, almost. I wouldn't say not as over the top.
Clearly,
as
I
the
don't
A-team.
Know how many things could be.
Yeah. But like I said, they just started. I want to say they just started their fourth season. From what it looks like, they're signed through a sixth. But if you can, I'm pretty sure you can watch the episodes on Hulu, and you can catch up, although it's not completely necessary to watch from beginning to end. It would be good just to get a kind of just a kind of backstory. But it's a great show. I enjoy it a lot. It's part James Bond, part MacGyver, part there's some comic elements to it. It's just really, really enjoyable. And it's one of the only shows that's on during the summer.
Cool. All right. Well, I'm going to throw in another one that's currently airing. Cool. And it's actually a show that's come back to us in the same vein that Family Guy disappeared and had a rebirth on DVD. As too does Futurama, which finally returned from a multi-year absence and is now airing on Cartoon Network Thursdays at 10 p.m. I don't feel I have to go too much into the premise of Futurama, because if you don't know what it is, then you probably aren't going to bother watching anyway. So check it out on DVD first and then start catching up with the current seasons.
Could you say maybe that it's kind of like The Simpsons in space?
I could say it's very similar, especially considering that Matt Groening is the creator of Futurama as well as he was The Simpsons.
Same kind of humor, and obviously the animation's the same and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, and Billy West is one of the most phenomenal comedic voice actors of our time, and he voices the main character as well as some other minor ones in the series. So, tremendous. Excellent. Check it out.
I've got two more, actually. This one just started. Did it just start during the fall? It started the first half of its season in the fall. That's actually one of the cool things that USA does. I don't know if they do it with their other shows, but they do it with Burn Notice, and they do it with the one that I'm going to talk about now, which is called White Collar. They do a half of a season in the mid-fall, I would say, and then they do the other half of the season in the kind of like mid-summer. It can be annoying in the fact that you got to wait like a couple of months to finish a season, but I don't know. I kind of like that idea, because that way your favorite show is almost kind of on all the time.
Oh yeah, it seems kind of smart, because right now everything else is in hiatus, so you have something to watch during the summer.
Yeah. So White Collar, the best way I could describe it is it's basically kind of almost a takeoff of, for those who saw the movie Catch Me If You Can with Leo DiCaprio Tom Hanks, at the end, when DiCaprio's character gets captured, he goes to work for the FBI. Basically, that's kind of what this is. Matt Bomer, who I'm sure a lot of people probably don't know, he was a soap star for a while. He was a star on Guiding Light. He was on Guiding Light for a couple of episodes. True Calling. Does anybody remember that show, True Calling? I don't remember that show.
That would be an Eliza Dushku vehicle, I believe.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
And he actually played Bryce Larkin in the show Chuck, who was basically Chuck's college roommate. And now he's in White Collar. And here's another tidbit of news. He was actually cast as Superman when McGee was still still attached as director of the latest Superman movie, until Bryan Singer was brought on to direct, and then they went in the direction of Brandon Routh instead. So he's a great young actor, and basically he plays a guy named Neil Caffrey, who is a notorious art thief and art, what is it called when you can fake pieces of art really, really good?
Counterfeiter.
That's what he's a great art counterfeiter. And he's been tracked by this guy for the longest time, and basically he breaks out of prison when he's only got maybe like a day or two left of a 4-year sentence. And the guy that's chasing him down, whose name is Peter Burke, Agent Peter Burke, can't really figure out why it is that he decided to break out when he only had like 2 days left on his sentence. So long story short, Neil starts to work with Peter and helps him solve other counterfeiting crimes and all kinds of stuff. At the same time, Neil's trying to figure out what's going on with his long-lost girlfriend, who has disappeared, but it looks like she's been kidnapped by some people, and basically that's kind of the plot of the show.
Cool.
It's really good. Tiffany Amber Thiessen's in it. She's known as Tiffany Thiessen now, but she's still insanely hot. And coincidentally, actually, she plays a girl named Elizabeth Burke, which, and if I am not mistaken, that was Jesse Spano's name in real life. From Saved by the Bell, for those Saved by the Bell fans out there.
Yeah, that sounds right.
I think it is, yeah.
Yeah. Wow. All right. Well, I'm going to talk about one that's out on DVD right now, even though the series isn't coming back until the fall. If you haven't been watching Dexter, it is arguably the best show on television. It airs on Showtime, and I don't get Showtime, so I pick up the DVDs. Seasons 1, 2, and 3 are out right now. Season 4 is coming out on DVD and Blu-ray on August 17th. The show is about Dexter Morgan, a Miami blood spatter analyst, works with the Miami Police Department, and on the side, he is a serial killer that was trained by his adoptive father, who was a cop, to kill only those that deserved it. So there's an interesting moral play going on through the show. I don't want to say a lot more about it than that because you really just have to sit down and watch it and experience it. One of the best shows I have ever seen, period. And it keeps getting better with each progressive season. We have the fifth season starting in the fall. So if you want to catch up and get on board with that, then pick up Dexter.
Awesome.
Cool. You got another one?
I do. The last that I have is it's actually a show that I haven't watched yet myself, but I've heard really good things about it. And one of the co-stars I'm a big fan of one of the co-stars of this show. It's called The Good Guys, and it just started airing on Fox very recently. I think they're only into I think maybe they might only be into like five, six episodes in. But it stars Colin Hanks and a guy named Bradley Whitford, who I only know from, I think I know him from Revenge of the Nerds 2. And I think that might be it. I know he was in something else, but I can't quite put my finger on it. But he's really good at playing kind of like a jerky kind of jabroni, if I can say that. But it's basically, it's a buddy cop show. And like I said, I haven't watched it myself, so I don't know a whole lot about it. But from what I've heard from other people, I've heard it's pretty funny and pretty good, too. And you can't really go wrong with Colin Hanks, son of Tom Hanks. So that would be my other recommendation.
Oh, yeah. Colin's definitely a young actor that's certainly coming into his own quite quickly. He's impressed me in everything I've seen him in so far.
Yep.
Last recommendation I have is a show that doesn't need a lot of description. That would be Lost. It's a show that has the rare case of a beginning and an ending. A lot of shows now get canceled far before their time. Lost lasted 6 seasons, giving us a series finale just recently. That was actually our first special, was based on that episode alone. So I would absolutely recommend going out, picking up Lost if you haven't seen it, and really sitting down enjoying the whole journey from beginning to end. So that concludes our summer TV recommendation segment. We're pretty much wrapping up the show for today as well. I want to remind you again that our poll question for the week is, what summer movie are you looking forward to and why? Please send in those responses to podcast@thegeekgeneration.com. If you include your name and the location that you're writing in from, we will make sure to read that all on the air for you. And I want to go into the ending credits, of course. Is there anything you'd like to plug, Scott?
Well, the only thing that I can plug, I think, is a podcast that you, I think, plug yourself regularly. And that would be the Dangerous Memories podcast. And Hector and Todd are a couple of my good buddies. So if you want, you can give them a listen. I'm sure Rob's mentioned it before, but they're doing a weekly countdown of the AFI Top 100. And I think I actually might be featured on an upcoming episode. When it comes time for them to review Jaws and North by Northwest, I will be guest reviewing with Hector and Todd.
They did mention that on their recent episodes.
So. Oh, I'm excited, sir.
I'm excited to hear it.
Obviously, for those that know me, they know that Jaws is my all-time favorite movie ever. And North by Northwest is also another one of my favorites. So I'm really excited to be able to sit down with those two guys and give my thoughts.
Great show. I'm still trying to figure out a way to worm myself into one of those episodes at some point. So right now, I'm going to take a moment here and address the listener. Yes, you. I'm talking to you right now. Nobody else. Right now, you're my best friend in the whole world. You, listening. If you like the show, please tell all of your friends. We can't continue to do the show if nobody's listening to it. Well, we could, but it kind of takes away from the point of doing it. So you, yes, you. You go tell people, they'll listen, and hopefully they'll tell people, and they'll listen. Thanks. Appreciate it. In the meantime, go to The Geek Generation. Our website has news and reviews and all sorts of good stuff like that. You can find that at www.thegeekgeneration.com. There's also a button on there to subscribe to this show in iTunes. While you're there, please rate the show and write a review if you would. It does increase our visibility on the site and also gives us more listeners that way. There's a donate button on the site. And yes, I'm begging here because I do this for free. If you could spare $5 and you enjoy the show, maybe if you can't spare $5, even just a dollar. I mean, we've had around 70-something listens right now. If you threw a dollar in every time you listen to the show, then maybe I could actually get some equipment to beef it up a little bit. Who knows? We also, on the site, you can buy a shirt, a Geek Generation shirt. We get profits from that, too. So that's another way to contribute money and get something at the same time. If you have any other questions, comments, insults, or are just sending in a poll question answer, again, that's podcast@thegeekgeneration.com. And as always, the show theme is provided by Machine Supremacy, so I'd like to thank them again. A link to their site can also be found on our site. So thanks once again, Scott, for joining me today.
My pleasure.
And we will see you next time on The Geek Generation. Geek out.